Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. It's always nice every once in a while to zero in on some of the places across the country where they have such a great flavor in terms of the culture and the food that's so just idiosyncratic of that area. So we're going to take a look today at a very special place. And to do that, it's always great to welcome back to the show Joanna Proust. Joanna, welcome back to America Weekend.
Hey, Ed. Am I excited to tell you about Harlem?
Yes. And first of all, we'll talk about this is very meaningful for you because you live in the area. This is something you see every day. So tell us why Harlem and its food and its culture, why is it so important?
Well, you know, this is the 1 year anniversary of me living in Harlem. And when I first moved here, I was at Red Rooster, Marcus Samuelson's restaurant, mm-hmm. and they were just planning Harlem Eat Up. And Harlem Eat Up is a Harlem-wide event. There's just so much happening. And for people who love foodies and for people who like to taste stuff, head up to Harlem Eat Up. Go to harlemeatup.com and you can get all the details.
And this sounds great. It sounds great because a lot of people do come to New York for the spring. And you wouldn't think a lot of people just stay in Midtown Manhattan and eat. So here's a way to go someplace not very far from Midtown and be able to experience something that's really quite unique.
And so accessible by subways and buses. So, obviously, Harlem has been a place of interest for a long time, and we know that 53 years ago, somebody called Sylvia became the queen of soul food. We also know that in 2010, Marcus Samuelson opened his Red Rooster, and boy, did he get a lot of acclaim. But what's happened since? Well, there are really at least three different food-centric areas that I'd come to explore. One is Lenox Avenue or Malcolm X below 125th.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my all-time favorites is called Boulevard Bistro, BLVD Bistro, where Carlos and Joy Swepson, who are a brother and sister combo, are purveying some of the most extraordinary curated soul food. And I'm talking about crispy grouper sliders with a cornmeal crust. And I'm saying the best baking powder biscuits forever. Carlos's grandmother was from the South.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's a very sophisticated chef. He actually worked with John George Von Gerichten at JoJo and at Soho House. And this is their first venture uptown. And you can still taste Natchez, Mississippi from his grandmother. But, boy, is it refined. And fun. It's just really a very gracious, unpretentious place, really decent prices. Bar of Wine about across the street from there has spectacular fish and also wine. Do you know that Whole Foods is coming to 125th Street
this summer? I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, so we know that things are happening. And another little place that just opened a couple of blocks north is called Cesare.
Mm-hmm.
They sell all kinds of flavored olive oils and balsamic vinegars.
Really?
Yeah. And, I mean, again, these are just not what you would expect. If you go across to Frederick Douglass Boulevard, this is really an exciting area. And, again, one of my all-time favorite there is called Vinateria. And as the name sounds, it's a wine bar, but mm-hmm. with spectacular food. The owner is Yvette Leeper Bueno, and her chef is called Gustavo Lopez. And he's from Colombia and does Italian-Latin cuisine. And, again, what's so interesting about this place is very friendly, very unpretentious, but like there's a lot of repurposed elements used in the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And what Yvette said to me, and I just was so touched, is she chose to open her restaurant here because there is such a sense of community. And I think that's what I'm finding in Harlem in general, that people really reach out to one another. Next to me is a little garden park. And we all help each other, work in the garden there, which is pretty fabulous.
It's very nice, yeah.
It is. And so you get the sense that people are passionate. And there's just a tremendous amount of refreshing diversity and excitement.
You know, one of the things that really jumps out at me, Joanna, is it's rather than just restaurants per se, these tinier places that specialize, like in teas and olive oils, that really adds to the texture and the fiber of the neighborhood, just from a culinary sense. And it's so neat because you have all of these different things to discover.
You do. And you know what? I think this is really one of the most exciting places I've ever lived. or eaten, or both.
Sounds very, very exciting. So if next time you're in New York City, folks, it is well worth heading uptown to Harlem. There is a lot going on, and there is a lot of delicious things to eat. Well, Joanna Pruse, it is always great to have you on the show. You know what? When I have you on the show, we got to promote your website. What's your website address?
JoannaPruse.com.
There you go. How easy is that? P-R-U-E-S-S, for those of you that might want the spelling or need it. So there you go. Check out Joanna's website. It's a great trip online for all things food, all things travel. And as always, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so very much. It's always fun.
Thanks, Joanna. Stay with us. More to come. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So what will you stand in line for? When was the last time you played the waiting game? Why did you wait so long? Here's the social science of it. It's a funny thing, waiting. It can never be completely obliterated, only reduced. First off, you'll wait on the person who has what you want. Next, you'll wait when you think it's an investment. And the longer you wait, the more you'll believe it's worth it. That's technically referred to as cognitive dissonance. We know we're wasting time, but our brain manufactures reasons why it's worth it. What's the cheap psychological trick? Waiting is inevitable, but don't be tricked by it. Just like you should pick your battles, pick those things you wait for. Make sure it's cost-effective, and then it's worth the wait. So do you have a question? I'd love to hear from you. Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Linda had to drive her two small children and her sister's children to a surprise birthday party. She became concerned when three child safety seats took up the entire back seat. She knows by law no kids under six can ride in the front seat, but the back was full. So she had no other choice but to put her one-year-old in his safety seat in the front. But on the way to the party, an officer pulled Linda over and gave her a citation. What was the charge? Stay tuned for the final verdict. If the back seat is full of children under 12, then it is legal to put a child in the front seat. Linda's citation was because she chose the wrong child. Under no circumstances can a one-year-old or child weighing less than 20 pounds be allowed to ride in the front seat. And that's the final verdict.